Hi, this is Josh Groban.
Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM, Port Huron.
Good morning. Thank you, Jeremy. Welcome to the Lord's house. In this wonderful weather, my ducks will love. But we humans don't necessarily respond and blossom like the flowers do. But whether it rains or it shines, God is always present. And we gather in the house of the Lord to worship our God this day. And we welcome you, those on radio, WPHM, for future podcasts, WPHM.net. And I do want to begin with an apology, because several members of this church and the community called me to say that our podcast was not posted on Sunday. So I do not know if the radio broadcast went through on Sunday, but I do know as a fact, because the general manager, when I called him, he said, I don't see it either. So it's not on the website, and I'm hoping the technician there will repost last week, June 17th, to the internet, because I also made some comments about Ruth Wendt and some things that timely in the life of this church that did not get heard by the members in the community. So I urge the radio station to put that up there. And hopefully everything goes smooth for this June 24th broadcast and podcast. Okay. Radio broadcast this day has no sponsor, therefore the congregation assumes its responsibility. I do encourage members to sponsor a radio broadcast. The sign-up sheet is on the back table, and we encourage you to use it because it is heard. Well, case in point, Phyllis and Clyde, they have not been able to be here for the last 3 months because of physical injury, and they listen to us every Sunday on radio or on the podcast. Either way, they will listen to us. And it's an important ministry to our people, but also to the broader community, because they're listening to us as well, and we welcome them. Our worship this day begins with Confession of Sin, page 1. I invite you to please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love.
Amen.
Amen. Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and against one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move, and we have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all of our offenses, and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. For his sake, he forgives you all of your sins. Amen. Our entrance hymn, O God, our help in ages past, we sing.
Shelter from the storm.
Lord be with you.
If you'll
join me in the prayer for this day, please. O God of creation, eternal majesty, you preside over land and sea, sunshine and storm. By your strength, pilot us. By your power, preserve us. And by your wisdom, instruct us. And by your hand, protect us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. First reading by Marcia.
At the end of the book of Job, after Job and his companions have argued about the cause of the great suffering Job endures, God finally speaks. These verses begin that speech, which is a grand vision of creation, describing God's ordering of the cosmos and inviting Job to marvel at its beauty. The first reading comes from the book of Job, chapter 38, verses 1 through 11. When the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed bounds for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come, and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stopped. This is the word of God, the word of life."
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Marcia. Psalm of the day, selected verses, Psalm 107. The antiphon, which is built into the response, is, "You stilled the storm and you silenced the waves of the sea." Psalm 107, selected verses, as I said. So give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good, for God's mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that God redeemed them from the hand of the foe, gathering them from the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north and from the south. Some went down to the sea in ships, plying their trade in deep waters. You stilled the storm and silenced the waves of the sea. They beheld the works of the Lord, God's wonderful works in the deep. Then God spoke, and a stormy wind arose, which tossed high the waves of the sea. They mounted up to the heavens and descended to the depths. Their souls melted away in their peril. They staggered and reeled like drunkards, and all their skill was of no avail. Then in their trouble, they cried to the Lord, and you delivered them from their distress. You stilled the storm to a whisper and silenced the waves of the sea. You stilled the storm and silence the waves of the sea. And then, when they were glad, when it grew calm, they were guided by them to the harbor that they desired. Let them give thanks to you, Lord, for your steadfast love and your wonderful works for all people. And let them exalt you in the assembly of the people, in the council of the elders. Let them sing, "Alleluia." Be still the storm and silence the waves of the sea. Our second reading by Kathy Cole.
Good morning. The second reading comes from the second book of Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, "At an acceptable time, I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation, I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. This is the word of God, word of life.
The gospel reading for the day is from Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 35. Please rise for the gospel acclamation. Hallelujah. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. From the text of Mark, selected verses, glory to you, O Lord. So when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was. Now other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, the waves beat against the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, he was asleep upon a cushion. And they woke him up, and they said, "Teacher, don't you care we are perishing?" He woke up. He rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, "Peace, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe, and they said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. This far into June, you know we're into kind of the growing season of things. Life. New life from the spring births. Plants. Certainly with the inundation of water. As they thrive or flood in this kind of water. Growth is all around us. The theme of the day is about growing the faith. Growing the faith. That's probably one of the least attended to aspects of human life. People think you're either born with it or somebody gives it to you or you were raised in it. But that's not a fact how faith grows. Faith grows by the Word and by God's Spirit. And if it doesn't get those nourishment tablets, the faith dies. It's like the parable Jesus gives of the sower and the seed. It will get plucked out by the God of this world. The things of the kingdom will seem, passive, irrelevant, inconsequential? Because we're so busy, busy, busy. The things of the world choke out the things of the faith. So, if you start with the book of Job, if you can follow sermon outline or follow the text with me, page 4, Job 38. Survey real quick. How many of you have read the book of Job cover to cover? Okay. A few of you. It's a compelling story. It is the Hebrew response to why is there evil in the world? If you've ever asked that question, then you need to read the book of Job. If you want answers, you got to go to the answer book. If you just want to ask questions and happy with no answers, go ahead, walk blind. And even after you read Job, I'm going to kind of give you a foretaste, you're going to come to this passage, which stops us in our tracks as they are. Now, Job has gone through a long process. He's lost his wife, all of his children, all of his flocks, which were his means of a living. He's lost his friends. And it's like, what else, God, can you take away from me? Not that God took him away. You know the context of the story. The accuser came and said, you know, the reason why Job is praising you is because he has the silver spoon in his mouth. Take that silver spoon out of his mouth and see if he doesn't curse you. He doesn't curse God. His friends come up and say, oh, just denounce God. He says, no. Well, then there must be some sin in your life that you haven't confessed. He says, no, I live a righteous life with my God. They give him all these false, theories, remedies. And none of them were real or applicable for Job. But Job's still hurting, right? You'd be hurting. I'd be hurting. And trying to understand the mystery of evil. Why in God's name did this happen to me? You ever asked that? And then Job finally kind of raises his fist to God in this chapter. He's exhausted. He's frustrated. He has no answers, and the God didn't give him a revelation. So now he comes kind of fist in hand, facing God, figuratively speaking. And he says, Lord, you're the one responsible for all this stuff. I hold you accountable, don't we all? And this is the first time that I've seen in the text of the Old Testament God saying to us humans, sarcasm. So he says to Job, Job, where were you when I created the universe? Did you have the blueprint? Did you know more than me? Did you not share your wisdom that I could have done it right if I'm doing it wrong? Job, what is this master plan you have, how I could have fixed the universe from evil and suffering? At what expense? How would we deal and balance it between nations, nationalities, poverty, justice, and human sin? Job, where are you with your answers? You were quick to criticize. Do you understand this whole major plan that I'm working out for billions of people, not just Job? How does this all interface, Job? Where did you get this wisdom, this knowledge? Let me put a parenthesis there. You see the tapestry on the side wall? I like the metaphor of a tapestry because what we see on the outside is a finished picture. And that's life at its perfect intent of what it could be. Underneath, turn that tapestry around after the service and look at what a tapestry looks like. It's broken pieces of thread. They don't make sense, the colors don't seem to mesh, but on this side, it's a work of art. we see the broken threads. We see the suffering. We endure the suffering. We deal with death. We deal with grief. We deal with loss of jobs. We deal with life's transitions. And it hurts. And God gets it. But also, God knows it's going to create a wonderful, picturesque work of art in the resurrection. God does give us signs in this world. Only the blind and the dumb refuse to see them. So be it. But God is constantly talking to us, that he is working through all things. And like Paul writes in Romans to the believers, God works together all things for the good, for those who believe and trust in Jesus Christ. And it's like Job, you hang on by a bare thread. Sometimes you're like your last nerve with God. When you stay it, you will find out what Job does. After these verses of the text, Job will, after he's been chided and sarcasmed by God, God says, okay, let's set things right now. He restores the, Job apologizes, he repents, his heart has changed, does the words, and now he has his fortunes restored. He has a family again. His crops, his cattle come in. Hey, God is good. We love to praise God when everything's going right, don't we? But it's tough to go through that valley of the shadow of death. Not easy to hang on with faith. Faith is not a constant. It's ups and downs along life's journey. The constancy is God's claim on us. God's got us by the collar. And God is not going to let go of us. Ever. Come to the second reading. 2 Corinthians, page 7. As we work together with him, we urge you also to not accept the grace of God in vain. He wants us to remember that this is the acceptable time. Not tomorrow. Don't procrastinate. I'll get around to it to get right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now is the time. I like another phrase that Paul will use in the New Testament. We are closer now to our salvation than when we first believed. Paul, you're pretty logical. I mean, we're all getting older, aren't we? If you should live 70, that's 70 in the Psalms, consider yourself fortunate. We made it. But then consider the consequence. We're drawing closer to the end. Okay? Appointed once, written in the letter of Hebrews, it's appointed once for everybody to die. The rich, the poor. No matter what nation you're born in, no matter what your ethnicity is, no matter what your background is, all people have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And then as the scripture says, no, when God looks down from the heavens out of the Psalms, he looks down and he sees not one is without transgression. Not one is blameless. That's why Jesus Christ had to enter our time and our space from outside of our system to become inside our system. That's the reason of the incarnation. It wasn't so we could have a party in his name. It's the recognition, as Paul says, we commend ourselves. We understand we're going to go through great endurance. We're going to have afflictions. We're going to have hardships. We're going to have calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labor, sleepless nights, hunger. By purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, the power of God with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand as well as for your left hand. We're treated as imposters, yet we're true. As unknown, yet we're very well known. As if we were dying and see, we're very much alive. As punished, and yet we're not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, making many rich. As having nothing, and yet we possess everything. So too, there is no restriction in all of our afflictions, nor in yours, Paul writes. Open your hearts to God. Do not consider whatever you and I go through as if we were abandoned, left on the wayside, left in some camp or chain link fence, but consider ourselves in full relationship with God through the changes of our lives. He's not singling us out in his crosshairs and say, I'm going to get you today just to play with you, toy with you. No. God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ came to redeem us. Why, hardly would a good person be willing to die for another person, and yet God shows his love for us, Paul writes, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. That's love. That's what God gives us. The gospel text. There on page 9. Interesting text. How many of you have been out on a boat, lake, river, whatever, and a storm came up on you? How many have ever gone through that? I have too. Was it a fun experience? No way. I was in a sailboat in college. I didn't know if I'd ever get to seminary. We were in Lake Erie from Columbus, Ohio. When we went out, it was calm. It wasn't the way we came back. The storm came up, dark clouds, winds blowing, waters crashing over. Now you get the setting for the text. Jesus, how can you sleep here? Can't you hear our knees trembling, our teeth chattering? We're scared to death. Don't you care? That we're going to die and perish. You might go on to your father, but we're going to die too. Why do you sit so passive? Compassion. Concern. But not fear. Jesus awakes. He speaks to them. He's got to make some comments to them. He says, what are you afraid of? You stupid? If you've been on a boat, you know what you're afraid of. Don't you know, Jesus? We're fishermen. We know what happens in these boats. The wood may not hold up. The whole structure may give way. And we may tip over and drown. You see, they didn't have life preservers. Okay. And Jesus says, look, peace, be still. And with that, the winds calmed. Oh, I wish I had Jesus in my boat. And there was a calming effect. The recognition. Who's Lord of nature? Who's Lord of creation? You disciples, you have the very Son of God among you. You think you know who he is, but you don't pay him the respect or the mind understand what he can do for his people. They were saved. They were spared. They were awestruck, right? Great awe. Who is this, scratching their head, that even the winds, the waves, obey his voice? He's the Son of God. Disciples, wake up. Smell the coffee. At times in life, a lot of times there's some postings on Facebook saying, you ever look back on your life and say, how did I get through that? You ever see those postings? I'm tempted to answer that every time, but I don't. It's like, absolutely. Every day. Every day I marvel at what God has done to enable me to be the person I am today. Not yesterday. Not a year ago. Today. He's taken me through a lot. I assume he's taken you through a lot too. We all go through a lot. Stress, frustrations, disappointments. But God is consistently present and very ready to help. Just call him, like the disciples did in the boat. He was ready to act. Now, a lot of times we Lutherans don't pay much attention to the Psalms. But let me kind of remind you of the refrain, which talks in terms of when he comes to us, he will bring us peace and calm. He stilled the storm. He silenced the waves of the sea. The refrain of Psalm 107, verse 29. You and I have storms. You may pretend you got your life mastered. Oh, wait till the crest comes. You don't. And God has a way of humbling us who think that we're self-sufficient. For there is only one God in this universe, and it's not ourselves. And perhaps one of the biggest sins of our culture or mentality, whatever it is this kind of centrality on self, narcissism we call it, like the Greek mythology of the flower of Narcissus, and that became the flower that sat there gazing at his wonderful image in the water, right? Greek mythology. It's self-absorption. Doesn't look around at the society, the people, the needs, the hurts, the pains of others, and thinks it's only me. When in truth, most counselors will tell you, when you're dealing with depression in people, the very remedy, which is the hardest thing to do, is to get outside of yourself. Invest in people. For it's when we give ourselves away we really discover why on earth God has placed us here. It's not for pleasure. It's not for gain. It's not for reputation. It's not to have large family systems. It is to be God's agent in this world. However God has put you here to be planted, fulfill that purpose, and you won't have so much trouble with depression. Understand God is good and he's built a system. Job didn't get it. We have a little more knowledge than Job. Let's do it. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Hymn of the Day, page 10, Day by Day.
Send me, bring me through.
Our worship service continues with prayers. If you'll please rise. And John leads us.
Growing in faith and discipleship, we give thanks for God's merciful compassion as we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Empowering God, you call your church to boldly proclaim your day of salvation, bring unity to the faithful, and provide opportunities for collaboration as we bring your good news to the world. Let the youth of our churches hear your love for them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creating God, you call forth life from the swirling waters of chaos, and you pour out water that nourishes the earth. Send forth ample rain for crops to flourish. Seek peace wherever homes, towns, businesses, and lands are damaged by hurricanes, floods, and tropical storms. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Powerful God, come to the aid of all nations and leaders who fear storms of conflict, violence, or injustice. Raise up advocates and peacemakers to speak truth and hope into the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Saving God, grant endurance and comfort to all who suffer affliction, hardship, hunger, violence, or sleepless nights of pain or anxiety. Give your promise of healing to all who long for salvation. Today we pray for Iris Cook, Holly Allen, Mary Balderson, Holly Quater, Jerry Willis, Carrie Harper, Dick and Keita Auten, Jacob Long, Joyce Long, Daniel Baisley, Ed O'Connor, Marion Thomas, Brian Morrison, Maria Rump, Teresa Hazard. We also pray for Cindy Henneron and her granddaughter Brianna from an auto accident. And we also pray for those serving our nation, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Soulier, Rob Nolan, those returning safely from their services at home and overseas, and those returning into our communities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Covenant God, you call us by name and claim us as your own. We pray for those who prepare for baptism, those who have recently been baptized, and all who are called by baptism into lives of proclamation and service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Gracious God, we also pray your blessing in the life of the newly married couple, for Michelle and for Dean Walker. May your spirit abide in their love. May they grow to a lifelong love in the holy state of holy matrimony.
Eternal God.
Okay.
Eternal God, we give thanks for all the saints who have commended themselves to you in every way and who have endured in faith. Bring us at last to the acceptable time of salvation for all creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. And gracious God, we lift to you these prayers of the heart, trusting in your everlasting love and mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On this day, we sing the Lord's Prayer, please.
Thank you.
And if you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts for doing the work of our Lord in this time and space. Remind you, this is the final coffee hour until the break, returning back in Labor Day. So post Labor Day, we anticipate a coffee hour. So if you can stay, and hopefully the early late service will join us as well for this new format time and gathering together of the congregation. Last week we did the first nail sale. We raised $52. But it also was a low attendance Sunday last week. So if you can give another couple dollars if you gave last week or any amount you wish, all the proceeds go directly to Habitat for Humanity. There's no intercession. We don't take money, crim, skim it off the top. Did you see the headline this last week? I know a lot of people don't get the Times Herald. Did you see that Habitat for Humanity put on a roof for a World War II war veteran into the Port Huron area? They are working there through volunteers to make this community better where others don't think of it, don't have time or the skills to do it. But we can support it once a year with a nail sale. So as you're able to put in, I've asked Scott to be the nail seller, and don't let the force of the law give any influence, right, Scott? But if you can support Habitat, this is the last of two Sundays. We're doing it. You won't see it again until next year. So it goes dormant again, and they trust that the community and grants will carry the rest of the way. They are active in this whole county, but right now heavily in Port Huron. So two homes to be built this summer, two blocks away from us. Also in your now, just remind you, as we have through the e-letter, if you have not given us your email address, you're not getting a weekly emailing of 10 to 12 pages. Last week it included the church council minutes, reports, everything. So if you want to know what this congregation's doing, we're not going to put it on paper because nobody takes it. But we will do it electronically. But we need the connection to you, the receiver. So give us your email, write it down on the attendance book, write it down on the attendance sheet back there. The new devotional books, we've been asked, when are you going to put them out? I put them out this morning. So July's devotional books are on the back table. Portals of Prayer, Christ in Our Home. If you do not have a discipline of regular reading a paragraph of scripture or reflection and then a prayer thought to start or end your day, consider doing that as a summer discipline. It might actually carry over to the fall. So it's a good habit to grow the faith. Now yesterday, as I said in the prayers, we had a wedding here, and it was a wonderful thing, small wedding. Photographs are on the back table if you like to see the couple. It's Marcia's daughter's family. So it's a wonderful thing. Anytime people pledge their love before God and before friends and family, it's a good thing. So those are on the back table. Trying to think. Oh, Donna, thank you. You were late. I already announced it. Thank you. But thank you. Duplicity is always good. I do want you to know, Iris is in her prayers, and sometimes you look at it and you say, oh, she's always on it. No, again, unfortunately, Iris needed to go into the emergency room this last week. She came out, what, 4 or 5 hours later?
Six.
When you're having fun, right, in an ER, I mean, what can you say? So she came home, rebuilding her body, getting stronger again. So our prayers are always with Iris. And we thank Jeremy for altering his schedule to play for us these two services today. Many things in your bulletin. Read, respond to the ones appropriate for you. Please rise as the offering is presented. We sing.
Ha ha ha.
the grateful heart.
Merciful God, you open wide your hand and satisfy the need of every living thing. You have set this feast before us. Open our hands to receive it. Open our hearts to embrace it. Open our lives to live it. Pray this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. May God, whose power is working in us, do infinitely more than we can ask or even imagine. Grant you the gifts of faith and hope. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is a favorite as we start integrating the favorites suggested. One more of them that we've sung, Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
Go in peace. The Spirit sends us forth to serve.
Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. It begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.